Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, 3 o'clock. Good to have you with us. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything? Also, check out our YouTube, the Valenti Rico Show. Simple. Just subscribe. It's free. Why? Evan tells me that helps us. I think that's a pretty nuanced description.
No.
I don't do algorithms. So listen, we started the show in a very open-ended manner. I have no problem continuing it. Lots of people want to talk. But if you watch the games this weekend, want to know what your emotional state is, what was your takeaway? And not in a sense of, I really like the approach by this. No. Your takeaway in your year's over. The year was a failure. Injuries robbed you. So did your performance against the Commanders. The Eagles blowing the doors off the Commanders made me feel better because it let me understand just how far away you really were. You weren't beating the Eagles. It's in essence, they saved you the pain. It's like the difference between dying in your sleep or getting hit by a car. I don't know. Choice A sounds better. And the other one was watching the Bills. Well, go full Bills. Losing in the most heartbreaking manner to the same team. And there was a controversial call where I'm sorry, Taylor had the earpiece in. That ref who ran in from the Chiefs bench with a totally obstructed view to change the spot, even as Gene Steratore said they got the first down. Look.
Actually, two controversial calls.
Oh, yeah, the Xavier Worthy thing. Yeah. Yes.
The bottom line. Because that one is the one I think that I would be livid if I was a Bills fan.
My two takeaways are, you know what? As bad as this was, it could have been a lot worse. A, you could be a Bills fan. You could be one of the best teams in the league for 5 straight years and have nothing to show for it. You've only done it twice. And the other part was the Eagles playing the way they played. Hurts was totally healthy. He looked mobile. The passing game was back. A.J. Brown put the book down, caught some passes. The running game's fierce. The defense is fierce. It's like, yeah. You know what? I'm happy to not have to look at Nick Sirianni bleep talking the fans here in Detroit. So I walked away from this weekend. Actually, it was cathartic. I felt good. But I want to know what you guys think. Look, I got into an argument with Cookies on the podcast about it. He was all bent out of shape. But I still wanted to be there. And I'm like, to do what? Great. You made the game against the Eagles. And then you had to watch Nona get shot in the head.
Because if you're
what
there,
is the point?
Because if you're there, you give yourself a mathematical chance of pulling off an upset. You give yourself a chance at making the Super Bowl. If you don't play in the game, there's no way you can win.
And my point is, by not playing, you avoided real pain. If you thought the Commanders game was bad, what would losing the first and only and probably last NFC Championship game in Detroit?
Yeah.
What would that feel like? Oh, and getting dotted by 20.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm good with it.
Well, I mean, you're already questioning the whole validity of the 15-2 season. But yes, if you were to play the Eagles, you would see, wow, we did all of this just to watch the pain, I guess, in 70-degree weather rather than watching it in the cold.
So that's what we want to know. And if you didn't watch, there's no shame. I just wonder what the hell you did with your time. But those two results, I walked away not feeling good, but I felt better about things. because I don't live in delusion. You weren't beating the Eagles. You didn't have enough bodies. I don't need that. I mean, I made the joke in the first hour to you. I said, look, at least if my team's bad, I can emotionally detach and just move on. Like, the Giants are terrible.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than whatever the hell the Bills are attempting to accomplish. What the hell do you even say? Imagine if the Lions lose a couple more years in the playoffs like this. What's it all for?
Right.
See, this is my question is, did this season change you as a Lions fan? Now, this topic is probably way too deep, but I'm fascinated by the psychology of fan behavior. We've all gone on our own journey of fandom. The me of 10 years ago was different than the me of 20 years ago. With it, my fandom has gone a certain direction. It's been replaced by jaded pragmatism and cynicism. But I want to know, as a Lions fan, look, many of you went on a magic carpet ride this year or the last 2 years, and you have nothing to show for. Now, last year, Rico's right. It was so magical. Maybe you let yourself off the hook by blowing the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl because it was a year ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
It was unexpected. It was this amazing thing. Everyone went into this year where the Lions, for most of the season, were either the top choice or the number two choice to win it all. This whole thing, 15-2, we're coming to your city, takeovers, credit card debt, chaos, garbage cans, disco shirts, MVP, Jared Goff chance at churches, all of it. It was all for nothing.
Yeah.
Does this change you as a fan to where now you look at it differently?
Yeah.
Because I don't think the innocence is possible.
I was about to say, the innocence is gone. You don't see this differently anymore. You were forced to grow up. And now you have to be an adult about things and realize, you know what? Certain things matter, certain things are fun, and certain things are meaningless. Whereas this season, everything mattered, everything was fun, and everything had meaning. And it really doesn't.
You know, think about this. This would drive me to madness. Like, Jared Goff had a really nice year, but he didn't have this kind of year. Josh Allen finishes the season with a 92 Pro Football Focus grade. So just right off the rip, that's an insane grade. 5,000 passing yards, 46 touchdowns, 6 picks. You know what you got to show for?
An MVP trophy.
Stugatz. Nothing.
Nothing,
that
right.
Would drive me to madness.
You're right, especially if Lamar ends up with the MVP. You got nothing.
He cut the turnovers. He played the best football of his life. And still, he had the football, down 3, chance to really rewrite history and cement a legacy and clean up ILU.
Yeah.
So when you think about being a Lions fan and you watch those games this weekend, are your takeaways different than ours? And then there's this additional question. I want you to really search your soul on it. Do you believe you are changed forever as a fan because of the success of the last 2 years? They've never had it. You've never really been a Super Bowl caliber team. Reminder, 1991, I'm not making fun of you. You were 17-point underdogs at RFK Stadium. One of the largest spreads in playoff, or if not the largest spread in playoff history.
Uh-huh.
So you weren't that type of team.
Right.
Last year, 7 points. This year, you were 9.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
You've seen both ends of the spectrum. The point is, you were good enough. Are you different now? Because I'm with Rico on this. I think the innocent is gone, and you look at these two teams, and you look at what these fans are going through, and you go, okay. This is the terms of, terms of use.
Yeah. Here's the problem.
What?
You've reached a point now, and think about this, Mike. It's the reason why it's hard to get excited about the Wings and the Pistons and even the Tigers, because you saw a winning team, you saw greatness, and if you're not close to greatness, well, call me when you're ready. For the Lions fans, I think that the just because it is Honolulu blue and silver won't cut it anymore. Now it's, okay, is this going to help us win the Super Bowl? No, then I don't care. Is this going to get us over the hump to get into the Super Bowl? No, well, then I don't care.
See, I think what you're saying about the Pistons and Wings is spot on. I'm guilty. I can't go from watching a team chase a Super Bowl to, yay, we're the 8th seed. And it's like, that's insulting to the Pistons, and I don't want to be, because what they're doing is valuable and it is really encouraging, but it doesn't mean anything.
No.
The Red Wings, forget it. It's a tired, stale Tupperware.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they, plus 500 to make the playoffs still? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? To do what? Get aced out in the first round?
Yeah, and like for the Pistons, even though it was like 20 years ago, you still remember when they were at the top of the NBA. They were making it to the finals every year. And now, yeah, they, you know what? They could be the sixth seed in the playoffs. Okay, I guess that's good. Maybe I'll watch a game. Maybe I'll go down there. But there's no excitement. And I think for Lions fans, unfortunately, you may have graduated to seeing the Lions in that same viewpoint where if it's not a Super Bowl, if it's not an NFC title game,
it means nothing.
Yeah.
And listen, if you disagree with that, I don't think it's good person, bad person. I think we see the world in entirely different ways. And that's fine. But asking the question, I do wonder about it. Like, I wonder, all jokes aside, I break his balls on a daily basis. I wonder if Costa will be different.
I think he will.
You can't be this way next year. It's not possible. If you are, it just means you're an idiot.
No, because think about it.
I don't think Jim's an idiot. I think he's a very intelligent guy.
Mike, if they go out there, let's just say that lightning strikes twice and you hit a home run with the coordinators. Oh, by the way, it looks like they're going to be hiring the Broncos passing game coordinator, Johnny Morton. They're flying him into town. You hit a home run. You go 15-2 again. Are you that excited as a Lions fan?
No.
Because you're like, well, we've seen this before.
I think the other thing we've got to talk about, and we have months to do it, is just, do you go all in versus this we want to be good for a long time tagline? I think there's so much to unpack. So we'll get to the people. This weekend was something. I'll just tell you. I feel for you, but it made me feel a little bit better because it beats losing to the Eagles. And for me, it's like, yeah, I don't want the pain you're feeling. I don't want to deal with what the Bills are dealing with. I'll just sit over here with my 3-14 team. Leave me alone.
You ready for your new QB?
Yeah. I don't care.
You're getting one.
Rico, I got nothing to lose. I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, look.
We're taking Jackson Dart. It's going to be exciting.
You get a QB. You got a lot of pieces in place. And nobody wins the NFC East twice. Okay. You're back.
You're selling. You know, you're selling me a burnt out building and using AI generated photos. Cut it out.
But it's got an LED roof.
Right. All right. Let's get to the people. Full rack of calls on a Monday as we all process the weekend and its relation to the Lions, your fandom, and God Almighty, if you're a Bills fan, good luck. Go to Paul 97.1. Paulie, what's up?
Good afternoon, my good friends, Michael and Rico.
What's happening, Paul?
Paul and Shelby under Paul and Frazier? What the hell's going on here?
I moved to Frazier, Mike.
I had no idea. Well, welcome back.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's kind of odd. The previous caller before me, Jim, good friend of mine. We text all the time during Lions games.
Look at this.
He was actually the guitarist that did all the guitar work on the songs that we wrote for you about 10, 12 years ago. But I digress. I can be rather verbose, as you pointed out.
No, stop it. So what do you make of it?
Well, you know, after the disappointment of the Lions kind of faded, I'm a football fan. So, of course, I watched, but, you know, with a very uninterested, indifferent kind of a viewpoint. Me and the lovely Mrs., of course, had it on. I did want to see Philadelphia beat Washington just for personal satisfaction. And the fact that my son, my eldest son, lives in Philadelphia. But I didn't think they're going to roll them like that. And it's like what you said earlier, you and Rico. In our current state, we wouldn't have stood a chance. They are hitting on all cylinders. My God.
I think they could be the team
to unseat Kansas City. You know, yeah. I really do.
They just own the line of scrimmage. And I mean, especially right up the gut and some of the problems you've had with Glasgow not having a great year, Zeitler being hurt. Yep. Now, Mahogany's good, but he's still a rookie. Paul, I don't know. Maybe it's a loser's mentality. I think it saved me a lot more pain and the people of this town a lot more pain.
Well, I don't know, you know, so much about that, but there was also something that Rico said, you know, a little bit earlier. And, you know, as far as like next year with the Lions goes, and, you know, you have to admit, you know, that, you know, between 1935 and 1960, the Lions were good. However, none of us were alive to see it. And now this is entirely new territory for us. So I am actually really looking forward to next year because I know how good we can be. We have three of the most important elements going for us. An owner that steps aside. We have no Jerry Jones. We have one of the a wizard as a GM and a dynamic head coach with a lot of talent on this team when we're healthy. So yeah, I really think that, you know, next year the Lions are going to be right back there. 15-2, probably not, but you know, a division title is totally possible.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, look, I think you said it best. The 15-2 stuff and the indomitable monolith. No, I don't buy it for a second. Can they be 11-6? Maybe 12-5? I think everything's in play. But you know what else is in play? And I hate saying this. Go ahead and don't get some of these hires right, or have the wrong injury on offense. You know what else is in play? 8 wins. We've seen it. Go look at the Eagles from 2022 when they lost their coordinators. So it's just going to be more volatility. I think we all still have a belief they're built the right way. They're going to win a bunch of regular season games. They've just got to, they got to A, be healthier, and B, look, we have all offseason. I know Rico's already eyeballing me like, don't you dare, you SOB. I'd like it to be an all-in offseason. I just don't think that's what they're going to do.
No, I think Brad Holmes already kind of came out and said that I'm not going F those picks. I'm going to be very responsible. He believes in the core. He can afford to say that, okay? Unlike other teams in this city, he can afford to say, you know what, I believe in this core, and we just need to add a few pieces. Hopefully, they address the defensive line, but I digress. But yes, the upcoming season, though I look at it, Mike, as of right now on paper, man, that thing's going to be a bitch and a half, especially the road games.
Look, and that's my whole point. Like, I'd like to see some Super Bowl caliber moves. We'll find out. They got, Lord knows, we haven't even started the offseason, truly. Let's go to Julian 97.1. Jules, what's going on, buddy?
Gentlemen, top of the afternoon to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
How are you, sir? What's up?
Well, I've got a couple of takeaways. I'm going to try to get through all of them. I'm going to go in chronological order to try and be efficient. I wasn't able to connect with you boys last week. My takeaway from that game between the Lions and the Commanders was death by a thousand cuts. I don't think it was any one thing that beat them. You know, there's the turnovers. Which one's more egregious? I don't think it matters. And then when the offense sputtered, they didn't have the elite defense to kind of bail them out. And the thing that really stood out to me that I think you guys highlighted, which for me is maybe the biggest takeaway, was the Lions lost their identity in that game, right? You go back to Campbell's speech, you're going to punch us in the face, we're going to fall down and take a kneecap, et cetera. I mean, the Lions got punched in the nose at the beginning of the game and they were out of it. So to me, that's the real takeaway, that the 15-2 team, the you know, kneecap biting team, they didn't have their identity in that game. Watching the Phillies and Commanders game, which for me, I had all my eggs in the Bills KC basket. I had plans with friends because I've got close friends that are huge Bills fans, and I was in the anybody but Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And so watching, my takeaway from the Eagles Commanders game was a little bit salty, actually. And the reason is the Eagles reaffirmed everything that I think Lions fans and you guys talked about in the week leading up to the Lions Commanders game, which was pound the rock, rookie QB on the road, win in the trenches, and the Commanders aren't really a threat. And the Eagles proved that had the Lions done that, again, back to my previous point, had the Lions stuck to their identity, they would have creamed the Commanders, regardless of the injuries on defense. The offense would have overwhelmed them. They should have gone up multiple scores, established the run, and then I don't think with the turnovers, Jaden Daniels, you know, gets that confidence and has his way. So for me, a little bit of salt is saying, guys, if you had just done what you've done all season effectively and what you've communicated as your identity, they would have had no issue with the Commanders. Now, just a quick aside there, Mike, to your point about how good the Eagles looked and, they would have had their way with the Lions. If you copy and paste the Eagles' performance from yesterday against the Lions team that was in the postseason, I think that's a fair point to make. However, I would highlight a couple of variables. The game would not have been in Philadelphia. The game would have been at Ford Field. And what I would have loved to have seen, which we will never know, is the Lions' defense and the way they played, more importantly, from the Vikings game, the last regular season game. I want to see that defense with the Lions offense of Jahmyr Gibbs, running for 8-9 yards per carry and exploding, and Jared Goff not turning the ball over and no fumble, strip sacks, etc. Give me that Lions team, which was a very real team, at Ford Field, NFC Championship against an equal or lesser Phillies team from yesterday. I don't know. I'm not saying the Lions.
But you've changed every variable. Yeah, but hold on. Jules, the problem is in all of this. A, yes, that Vikings game was great. One problem. Sam Darnold's a pumpkin. When you want to win in the playoffs, you're going to have to beat elite quarterbacks. This defense, as currently constituted, is incapable of beating an elite quarterback. Second of all, I don't care if they played a game on the effing moon. The Eagles are going to line up and pound on you. But you know how I know it? Because a terrible offensive line and a terrible running team did just 8 days ago. So you can't change every variable about everything. You versus them, and you don't beat them. Oh, but if I can get this defense from week 16, and I can get this offense, and the Eagles played her B-minus game. Well, I mean, at that point, Jesus.
Yeah.
Ifs and buts are candy and nuts. What a Merry Christmas we'd all have. That doesn't work that way.
Yeah, if we would have had 4 pick-sixes in.
Julian's a good caller, and he's a smart guy. But, like, Jules, I just personally, I think you're in your feelings a little bit here now.
A little bit.
Come on now. We'll get more to calls momentarily. And I got a treat for you guys. This is something very special. It's a while you were busy with real sports blitz. What you've missed. Probably do this at 4 o'clock. It's day one of college basketball. A Rico Beard production. Everything you need to know about the sport you don't care about because football's on. Well, now we don't get a choice.
You'll enjoy it.
Will I?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, also, first system that's not a system but plays like a system.
No, it's back.
It's back.
It's back.
Evan will have that out to the people tonight.
Okay.
Unranked favorite over number 3 in America.
Oh.
What could go wrong? Tasty. Just a small update. We'll get to you at 3:45. It looks like the Lions may be zeroing in on an offensive coordinator. We'll get that to you momentarily. I want to knock out some calls. We got Rico's, what you missed while you were in a slumber during football season. We'll do it at 4. Let's go to Adam, who's up next, 97.1. Adam, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
I'm okay. I feel decent. After watching Bills fans lose their souls and the Eagles destroy the Commanders.
Yeah, that was tough. I was at the bar last night and I had my Lions sweatshirt on. I was like, what am I doing?
it was a reflex because for 5 months, that's the go-to. You're rocking it. Everybody right. was.
But speaking of us losing in the playoffs this year, you hit the nail right on the head. All the elite QBs they got to play next year, especially on the road, that window and door might be close to getting slammed on you. And on top of that, you're replacing your DC and your OC. I don't know. You asked the Eagles what happened to them last year. It took them quite some time. But the way I look at it next year is they're going to have to win a division to even get in the playoffs. Because I think they're going to lose 6-7 games next year.
Yeah, I
don't see them.
Adam, here's what I'll tell you.
Road games.
The conversation about Super Bowl windows is a flawed one because no matter when you have it, so much is going to happen that is out of not only your control, it's nothing you can forecast. Like, we might feel great about this offseason. and then you have a non-contact injury in week two and it upends your whole year. They have a core that's going to keep them good. Are they going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl? Well, certain things are going to happen that we can't sit here on January 27th and say, but like, no, Adam, I think the thing I always remind people of is while the salary cap isn't real, it's a factor, meaning you can create cap space. Now, their effective cap for 2026, I think I've seen it, is $4.8 million. Clearly, they will have to redo Jared Goff's deal. Why? His number balloons to almost $70 million that year. So when you do those things, it just makes your future tougher. So, Adam, I do believe 2025 will be your best shot moving forward because starting after this coming season, you are going to lose people.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. You got a good point there, Mike. That's why with Brad Holmes, we have to hope he hits home runs on some of these draft picks. But, I mean, you can only do that so often, I feel like. I mean, truthfully, realistically, you're going to have to go all in on some of these picks and trade these pieces for some superstar because in order to, you know, face these elite quarterbacks, you need some dogs on that defense. They're not saying they don't, but you need some guys that can run these quarterbacks down that are mobile because you clearly can't contain them.
No, and listen. Adam, that is the thing Rico and I, we have banged the drum the last couple of years. You must invest in the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And as great as Aiden is and Aleem is, you're nowhere near the caliber of the teams that were left in this tournament. Not with Philly, not with Kansas City, and probably not with Buffalo. Now, when you lose an Aiden or you lose an Aleem, no, you're just wholly outclassed. You had nothing to offer. So when you talk about, well, how do we upgrade there? No, I don't think the 28th pick in the draft is going to walk in the league and do that. Well, then you enter free agency, which they have not been willing to do in any big, meaningful manner. Don't sell me DJ Reader or Marcus Davenport or a trade. Now, that's going to get us into a different space because the minute you say trade, people panic and they go, oh, we don't want to do F them picks. Well, nobody said you had to. But you're going to have to go and get a hellraiser. You got to get somebody who can backstop Aiden and Aleem. And I want to remind you of this. Aiden's coming off a broken leg. That is nothing minor. And Aleem's coming off a second catastrophic knee injury. He may not be ready when the season starts. Just like DJ Reader was coming off a catastrophic quad injury. He had blown a quad in the left leg and the right. He wasn't the same player. So I'm not speaking for you on this. No. It's just that if there's ever a time where you're going to have to get bold and bring in a D lineman, it would be this offseason.
Or you get fortunate in the draft because we do trust Brad Holmes. He hasn't missed yet. You go get a George Karloftis guy. The Chiefs took him late in the draft and they paired him up with Chris Jones and it's kind of working. So if you could find that D end that's out there late in the draft that kind of slid down, by all means, please take him. I it just seems like it's not a high priority, but yeah. But no, you said something that it'll be a topic for later days, I'm sure. But man, you reworked that Goff contract, and he's your guy for a long time.
Well, and again, I'm not saying it's the wrong move. What I'm saying is, all of the flexibility, right? All of these great deals that were dirt cheap because of how wonderful Brad Holmes has been. Those are all disappearing.
Yeah.
All these things hit.
Yeah.
And then you start to future cast and go, all right, so we know we're fine this year. Mm-hmm. But beyond 25, what are you doing with J-Mo?
That's true.
What are you doing with Brian Branch? Yeah. Do you want to hand Kirby Joseph a bag as if he is name elite? Elite safety. Uh-huh. You want to pay $18 million a year for your safety? How about Sam Laporta?
I was about to say, what do you do with Laporta? So there's a lot of things that you can do. Yeah, it is.
My point is the times now.
You're going to learn the business of the NFL in another year where you got to say goodbye to make some tough choices.
My point to you is go all in now.
Yeah.
If this weekend showed you anything, it's that as good as your football team can be, might be, You have one major weakness. And look, I think the Bills are having the same conversation. because when they needed it, when their season's on the line, did their defense play well? No. Did they get a key stop? No. We're kicking the ball to Kansas City with all of our timeouts. Can we get off the field? Nope. Had two shots at it. It is just, they got to find that last missing piece. And yes, Aiden being healthy will help. But you know what? You know how bad you were up front? Aiden led your team in sacks. One problem, he didn't play after week four. So when Rico and I say, hey, man, let's go all in and do this, it's because I got to be candid with you. And the Tigers throw this thing out there all the time, and I'm not interested. Oh, we want to be good for a long time. I don't care. The Giants win a Super Bowl once every 10, 12 years, and then they basically massacre themselves with a cheese grater. Which is better? Ask Buffalo what being consistently good feels like. Today, they're trying to find a six-foot hole, leap in it, and pay someone to put the dirt over the top of them.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be fascinating. I just know I'll probably be vilified because, yeah, like they have to go all in. Let's go win this thing.
You will be vilified.
Consistently good.
Consistently good makes you.
Maybe they'll sell a t-shirt at the team store. Consistently good.
But even the Bills made those moves you wanted. They got Von Miller.
They tried. They tried and it didn't work. Paul, my point is you got to try. You can't. I think Lion fans are fooling themselves if they think they're just going to be this good in continuum. The league is designed to destroy that notion.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're going to get to the phone calls. Rico's going to catch everybody up to speed while you were paying attention to football. Give you a little primer as we turn the page and figure out what we're going to do with our sports time in the aftermath of the Lions and the NFL. You missed anything, Odyssey.com. Rewind. We go to Cal, Plymouth, 97.1. Cal, how you been?
Good. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Nice to hear from you again. What's on your mind?
I just want to make sure I understood something. So you think this season was for naught?
I do, yes.
Okay. I personally think that it's the complete opposite because I think that this season meant everything in the development of the Detroit Lions fan. I think one of the things we're hearing a lot less of, although we still hear a little bit of it, is that we no longer say same old Lions. And if anything, if we still have those doubters who go back to that, it's actually same old Lions fan there. But we officially became invested with the team. And, you know, this morning when I was listening to Kosh, he was talking about how he just felt gutted watching TV this, you know, watching the games this weekend. And I think we all felt that way. And the reason why is because I think we've all gone through a paradigm shift, you know, not to, you know, use such a fancy word, but, you know, mentally we have just really adjusted the way that we now watch and support the Detroit Lions. We have become part of that team in the sense that, you know, the foundation is different. Before we used to wish, we used to hope. Now we want, now we expect. And I think that makes a massive difference in the way that this team is also developing itself as well. So I think that our emotional roller coaster this week was based on the fact that, you know, we legitimately wanted to be on that ride and now we know what it feels like. And then the last thing I want to say is, because you started talking about this in the last few minutes, was I'm not worried about the fact that players are going to be coming and players are going to be going out of this team. The core remains the same. And I think that for a long time, this team has built itself for that. Again, I think it's a matter of being a strong supporter of your team, a strong fan of your team. You understand, people come, people go. But the team develops its culture, its core. And I think that that's what's changed for Detroit. So that's my positive that I take out of this. It's not same old Lions.
Well, first of all, really Cal, I have never invoked that SOL stuff. I hate it. I couldn't agree with you more. They killed that last year. I think they killed it 2 years ago, the way they finished the season. So the SOL stuff is for other shows or other callers. I want to just say this, and when I tell you from the bottom of my heart, there is no smarm or sarcasm. Listening to your words, all I could think of is that is a very, for instance, one of my very, very dear friends is originally from England, and he's an Arsenal fan and was a season ticket holder and a supporter of the club and the whole thing. What you're describing, and I mean this with no smarm, Kel, that is a very European approach to sports. that it is the support of the team and the understanding that comes with it and how being a supporter rises above all. Look, I admit it, and Cal, it's my weakness, but I can't be anybody else than who I am. I have a New York approach to it, where if we don't win it, everybody can burn in hell. That's kind of my approach. So it is the opposite school of thought. So but what Cal is saying, I understand a lot more people are going to side with Cal on that. And that's fine. I am built different with it, where Cal, now that we're here, you have to worry about players leaving. Because if it doesn't materialize right into something more, do you know what we become? We become the Buffalo Bills.
And I was going to say, Cal, so next year, the regular season still is going to feel just as great for you if they go 14-4, 12-5.
Yeah. I mean, as long as they make the playoffs, you know, and we can give the sport. What I would not be happy about next year is I won't be happy not winning playoff games, because now the team has to learn itself. But as a fan, for the first time, and again, I've been in Michigan for almost 40 years, and I was raised on understanding that never count on the Lions. They just are awful. They'll never win. And I just didn't understand that mentality. And again, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more about the fact that being a Giants fan, you are invested because you're invested in success. And what really hurts for you right now is seeing what the Giants have become. And that's painful. But I also had the pleasure of spending a lot of time in New Orleans, and I got to see a fan base that I thought, this is what we need. You know, we need a fan base that supports their team through and through. And we're getting there. We've got there. I think that's why I call it a paradigm shift. I think the mentality has changed. I am not worried about the future of players coming or going, because the team has set itself up properly that they will be signing up. And for the first time, I think you can agree with me on this, players want to come to Detroit.
Yes. Again, oh, 100%.
I talk about my past history.
100%. You know? So I agree totally.
That's all I wanted to say.
No, and Cal, it's different perspectives, but there's no issue with it. My main issue is you take these gaps of 6 months between calling the show. Please. Let's be a little bit more consistent. Your calls are always thoughtful, enjoyable. I mean, Cal's called the show 15 years, but he picks his spots. He's like a sniper. He pops up. He gives a delivery. Look, I am fine with the different perspective, but I'm telling you, that comes from a different place. That's not how I'm wired. So that's where there's always going to be a difference, because
that is the anti-you.
Yes.
Or you're the anti-Cal.
Yes.
You are correct. That you two are the opposite side of a coin, because you are very... Because it is funny, Mike. It's one of the questions that I get asked all the time.
Oh, let's hear this.
Is Mike really like that? You know, why is he so hard on teams? And they're like, that's just how he was raised.
Yeah, that's it.
And, you know, he really does believe that. It's not for show. He doesn't do anything on the radio for shtick. He really believes, look, either you win or you lose. Plain and simple. There is no in between. There is no...
The only thing I wish...
Participation trophy.
And if Cal's still listening, he will appreciate this. I only wish the Giants could be relegated like they do in Europe. The Giants would be down in, like, local park football.
Well, that was the other thing. Like, can he ever be happy? I'm like, yeah. Yes, well, but I think he's one of those where sometimes the misery is his happiness. Where sometimes watching his team fail... It gives him enough to make fun of them, which makes him happy.
When my teams do things that I have foretold are terrible, when my team does the Javi Baez stuff, yes, I take pleasure in it, because I find teams to be so smarmy. They act like they're curing cancer. It's like, it's not that real.
Yeah.
Okay? You work for billionaires and you are millionaires and you buy and sell football players for money. All right, do a good job at it, will you please? They act like they got the launch codes.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to solve the Israeli-Palestine conflict. I'm asking you to draft a quarterback. Like, when you do stupid stuff, it's, what am I supposed to say? So, yes, you're right. Right now, am I enjoying John Mara vomiting all over himself in his Barca lounger? Yes. Why? Because he's a spineless coward.
Yes.
Yes.
So I tell people, like, he's just built different.
Yes.
Great.
I don't have the niceties, because for IO, well, what's the Niners thing called? The supporters club.
Oh, the faithful?
Yeah. Hey, how's your faith? What's it yielded? You haven't won anything in how long?
Been a while.
Oh, Bills Mafia. Hey, I got a table. There you go. Ask first.
In perspective, the last time the Niners won, they beat Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and those guys as Cowboys.
And those guys are all dead.
They're all in the Hall of Fame.
248. All right. So listen, we'll get back to your calls. We've got to do this. I'm excited to do this. Rico's going to put his professorial glasses on and catch us up to speed. Sit tight. We got a special blitz for you next, 97.1.